Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Paul Kingsnorth, a journalist, author, philosopher, and an Eastern Orthodox Christian, has written at length about this thing that haunts our steps, that of late seems to enclose us and even swallow us up, that he and many others have taken to calling the machine. More than just an idea, it has, in his estimation, come into a kind of existence of its own, exerting influence, assuming values, foremost among them being this thing that we call progress. Unbridled progress. Humans, for a long time, have been hard at work convincing ourselves that progress is a functional end in itself, and that it is desirable above any other thing. This emerges from a deep place in the human heart to want to take things apart to see how they work, to pull apart the fabric of the universe so that we might reassemble that fabric in a way that better suits us, treating the world as if it is a machine with interchangeable parts, rather than a living thing that we are dismembering and putting back together again in a kind of Frankensteinian way. But we have become very good at convincing ourselves that we are right on the edge of deciphering it all, finally liberating humanity from all limitations, from old superstitions, seeing the world for what it really is. We fancy ourselves very wise and advanced. We have built around us a world which directs our gaze right back to us over and over again. Or, worse, draws our gaze to something more sinister, something that looks back at us out of the void. But of course, we've assured ourselves that no such thing exists. We know better. We're wiser now. Now, it may be easy in the safety of a church gathering to laugh this off as an atheistic dream, but I'm sad to say there are plenty of religious folks who serve the machine. We're just better at hiding it from ourselves and giving it practical justification. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But St. Augustine says this, that we so busy ourselves with decoding the universe, so occupy ourselves with accumulating wisdom so that we can wrap our arms around the universe to unlock its mysteries, that we have looked right past the mystery. We have failed to see God in Christ and know his purposes in the world. Thus Christ says, these things are hidden from the wise and understanding, and have been revealed to little children. In our wisdom, we have become unwise. We are so hyperfixated on knowing to know that we cannot even see the one who knows us, who is the light of minds who think, the light of eyes that see. Self-congratulation blinds us. We fail to see ourselves rightly in the order of creation, and so cannot even begin to imagine how to see a creator. So our wisdom is frustrated. This is how we come to rightly understand what Christ means by saying that the mystery has been given to little children. By looking to the shadow side, arrogance. Hilary of Poitiers puts it this way, that God is not against understanding, but against arrogance. Thus, Christ does not say that the Father has hidden these things from the wise and given them to the foolish, or to those who have determined to not know anything. But to children, there's a difference. Christ is speaking here of humility. The revelation of God in Christ is seen by the humble, by those who do not presume to have the key to unlock the mysteries. They have eyes to see. To build high, you have to dig into the ground first. Those who lower themselves as Christ does are poised to see God in the face of Christ. This may help us follow the transition to what Christ says next. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. If wisdom is frustrated among those who busy themselves unlocking the secrets of the universe, imagining themselves to be the ones to unlock it, and if the remedy is humility, then where do we turn to find wisdom? But to the one who is meek and lowly of heart. To be among those who see God, our study can only be under the one who humbles himself, even unto a humiliating death, as St. Paul reminds us in Philippians. Thus Christ says, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. But we might ask, what does a yoke have to do with rest? If the invitation is to rest, why a yoke? The truth is, we often deceive ourselves as to the amount of freedom we enjoy in a day. We have it in our minds that an endless list of options without restriction is freedom. We may balk at the ambitious values of the machine that Paul Kingsnorth outlines. We may laugh those off as pipe dreams, those dreams of becoming gods by unlocking the secrets of the universe, counting ourselves out. You know, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have any ambitions to unlock the secrets of the universe. Sure, our aim may be lower at the personal level, yet we are nonetheless capable of serving the machine, so to speak, trusting the wisdom of my right to choose, with the aim of my liberty to do and be what I will. Speaking to a room full of Americans, this is especially the case, especially hot on the heels of a National Day of Remembering what we think of kings and authority. We don't like restrictions. We don't like being told what to do. Near or at the very top of our values is unrestricted choice. Complete autonomy to make my own shopping choices, my own eating choices, my own entertainment choices, my own friend choices, my own church choices, my own sexual choices, my own body choices, everything tailored to me and for me. Options, options, more options, and they're all free, not free of charge, because the machine still has to eat, but free of restriction. And this all feels very much like freedom. So the prospect of putting on a yoke seems repressive, not restful. And yet, St. John Chrysostom says this, that the greater burden, the heavier labor, is in keeping up with my own desires. That's the heavier load. These are what keep us up at night, demanding more of us. Our ego demanding constant vigil, ensuring that no head rises above my own, that no slight or careless word from my neighbor goes unpunished, fearing above all embarrassment. Our appetites demanding greater and greater quantities to satisfy it, ensuring that we always keep pace with our neighbor in accumulating more things, ensuring that we never miss out, fearing above all that the world will move on without us. our material goods and resources, demanding constant guard, ensuring that my standard of living never drops, that others don't get more than I think they should, fearing above all that money in my neighbor's pocket is not money in mine. This is what demands more of us. This is the heavier burden. Ensuring that my desires are constantly fed, keeping the machine well-oiled so that I never miss a beat in becoming what I want to be. We like to tell ourselves that this is freedom, that this is a liberated humanity, completely unrestricted to acquire whatever we want, when we want it, and that any limitation, any discipline, any yoke is an impediment to our satisfying those desires. And so we keep the fire burning to keep those desires fed. It is to this that Christ says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We may not have visions of grandeur, of unlocking the universe's deepest secrets, of pulling apart the fabric of the world to see how it works, but we may deceive ourselves into believing that the world is a machine that gets me what I want when I push a button, and that it is a fundamental good for me to get what I want. Learning humility from Christ in this case may mean learning to accept limitations, that our purpose might become more focused. The invitation is to rest, not to be freed from discipline or limitation. Because when I embrace limitation, when I embrace order, I find that what I had busied myself with were things that I had very little control over, and that to gain control over them would empty me of humanity until I become unrecognizable. In trying to play God, not only do I fail to become God, but I cease being human in the process and become something else entirely, something monstrous, in fact. So Christ says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His burden, let's remember, is the cross. Complete foolishness to the wise and offensive to any sense of liberty or self-actualization. The cross is the way of humility by which we see God in the face of Christ. The way by which we put aside the heavy burden of keeping our disordered affections satisfied and find rest instead. Because to see God is to find rest. So my admonition to you is this: do not resent the discipline of the church. You are not as free as you think you are. To stare at an endless list of options and imagine that you are free is to resign yourself to always obey impulse, to obey your wants. And your wants are like those pesky birds at the park. They will always come back for more when you feed them. You will find heavy labor under the burden of your unbridled wants. I guarantee it. But what I can say with equal confidence is that you can find rest in discipline, in embracing limitation. As your will becomes tempered, your gaze becomes more focused, and you begin to see yourself more accurately, such that you can lay your hands to those things that are actually within the scope of the work established for you, and not beyond it. To overreach is to find heavy labor. To discipline our reach is to find rest. Though our value of liberty and zero restrictions rebels at the thought. It is always a good time to repent. It is always a good time to think about a rule of life. It is always a good time to incorporate discipline. So call me. Call Pastor Brian. Call a trusted friend. Seek out a spiritual director. Have that sit down and ask the question, what do I busy myself with that I am convinced I cannot do without? What part of me writhes at the thought of Christ's yoke? What in my heart resists discipline? Be encouraged, for the Holy Spirit moves in and through our baptism such that our labor under the yoke of Christ, the disciplines of prayer, fasting, charity, confession, retreat, silence, hospitality, and so on, are tools in his hands that our work might truly be rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you order all things in heaven and on earth and have determined the boundaries of all living things that we might have life suitable to our capacity. So teach us to see ourselves rightly, that in true wisdom we might see you in the face of Christ and find rest under the easy yoke and light burden of him through whom all things were made and hold together. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.